last several years, I've been coming to Yeshiva HaKotel. It's usually been a little bit closer to Pesach. So I've been finished all my Pesach shirim. That's what they told me I have to come for Purim. So I assumed, great, okay, I'll speak about Purim. So Dovi told me, no, I can't speak about Purim. Because if I speak about regular Purim, Megillah, the guys know everything about the Megillah, Shalach Manah, so the guys know about everything. They want to hear something off the beaten path, right? That was the lashon of the Shia. Got to be Purim off the beaten path. So I was trying to knock my head against the wall. What can I talk about that probably no one ever heard about before that appears in Hilchos Purim, but has nothing to do with Purim? So I thought I came up with the following idea. There is a Ramah in Hilchos Purim, tucked away at the very end, where the Ramah discusses a minug of getting dressed up on Purim. So the Ramah speaks about a specific shot about getting dressed up on Purim. Namely, is a person allowed to wear a costume that a shot is in it or not? That's the shot that the Ramah raises. So I thought we'd talk about that shot today. About what's the halacha? Is a person on Purim permitted to wear a shot in his as part of his great costume? Of course, it's not only a Purim shalit, it's a all year long shalit, in case you're interested, whether you have to get your Bozo the Clown costumes check for Shatnez. And it's, we'll see as we go on, it's really a Kol Torah Kula Shatnez. And some of the issues that we're going to raise, talking about this very strange, bizarre Shatnez that I'm about wearing Shatnez costumes, is something that's going to touch at the very heart of some very, very relevant Halach Lamaisa topics, which have nothing to do with Purim, so it's going to be as off the beaten path as possible. Okay, that's one thing I can assure you. How the Shia is going to be, I can't tell you, but that I can tell you. So the sugya begins in Maseches Pesachim in the second parak, which actually Yeshiva and YU were learning Kosher. You guys are all slim, so oh good, okay, good, a little bit. So some of you may be familiar with the sugya. The Gemara is discussing a sugya of Dover She'enam Eskaveh. There is a principle in Halacha that I am permitted to do an action. I'm permitted to do action A if there's a chance that action B may take place, even though action B is an aveira. So let's say, for example, in Hilchos Shabbos, it's perfectly permissible for a person to drag a chair on the ground, because dragging a chair is a davar mutar. There's no malach involved in dragging a chair, but there's a chance that dragging a chair may cause a charitz, may cause a hole to be made in the ground. So it's a 50-50 chance. That's called a davar shena miskaven. Happens to be machlekes atanoim. We remember Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We pask in halacha that it's okay. Davar shena miskaven is perfectly all right. So the Gemara is quite clear that this heter of davar shena miskaven, doing A, even though there's a chance that B may take place, this is true not only in Hilchos Shabbos, not only in the case of the chair, it's true in other areas of halacha as well. So let's say, for example, the Mishnah Maseches Nazir tells us that a Nazir is permitted to rub his hair, he could shampoo his hair, even though there's a chance that some of the hair may fall out. It doesn't matter. It's a davar shena miskaven, even though a nazir to pluck out his hair would be asur, but he's not intending to pull out his hair. He's intending to do an action that's permissible. There's a chance that an aveira may take place. That's okay. That's called davar shena miskaven, and davar shena miskaven is mutar. In that context, the Gemara then quotes a Mishnah Maseches Kelayim about the halachas of shatnez. And the Gemara says, based on that principle, the following statement is also true. Mochrik sus moichin kedarkan. A person is a traveling salesman. He's selling clothes. He's carrying his wares with him. Oh, he doesn't have a big truck. He doesn't have a big wagon. He schleps all his clothes with him. Some of the clothes that he's selling happens to be shatnez. He's not going to sell them to a Jew. He's going to sell them to a goy. Okay, goy's allowed to wear shatnez. So he's got his shatnez clothes, his unshatnez clothes, and he wants to carry them along with him. And it's hard for him to carry them. So he kind of throws them over his shoulders. Is that okay? Is the mechrik sus, the person who's trying to sell his clothes, he's not interested in wearing the clothes, he's interested in selling the clothes. Can he throw the clothes over his shoulder, even though those clothes happen to be shatnez? Is that a violation of wearing shatnez or not? So the Mishnah says that it's permissible. The Mishnah says, mechrik sus, mechrin kedarka. Says the Gemara, why is that permissible? What's that based on? Says the Gemara, that's called the davar shena miskaven. He's intending to, not really to wear the clothes. He's intending to carry the clothes. He's intending on schlepping the clothes with him. It happens to be that Derech Agav, by the way, it happens to be that he's also wearing the clothes. That's called a davar shena miskaven, and a davar shena miskaven would be permissible. Now, I don't want to get into all the details of the davar shena miskaven part of the sugya. Those who are learning the sugya may remember, this sounds like it smacks of what principle. There is a principle that usually trumps davar shena miskaven. Anyone remember? Called the Psik Resha. Isn't this a violation of a Psik Resha? Because here he knows that he's wearing the shatnez. So as a machlokes Tyson the Ron, what the answer to that question is, and again, we're not going to get too far afield, otherwise we could spend the whole day talking about davar shena miskaven. We're not going to do that. You want to do that? Check YU Torah. I'm going to sum that up there about davar shena miskaven. But getting back to the story, the Gemara says that it's mutter. The Gemara says that's permissible. And it shouldn't surprise us that you look in the Rambam, look in the Shulchan Aruch, it's mutter. The Mishnah's quoted, we pass in davar shena miskaven, it's mutter, mechrik sus, mechrik kedarka, and finished. However, there is a Mishnah in Maseches Kelayim in the same parak, just one or two mishnayos away, that says something that sounds at first glance like it contradicts this particular statement of mochrik sus, this halacha mochrik sus. The Mishnah is talking about a person trying to get through customs, trying to get past the tax collector. So the rule is, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to cheat the customs, not allowed to cheat the tax collector, dear the mechusadina, but what if you're allowed to play by the rules? Means you have to pay your taxes, but you don't have to be more machmir than the IRS. If the IRS gives you a loophole, if it's legal, if it's mutter, if it's legal, then you're allowed to take it. If it's illegal, then you're not allowed to take it. So here also, there's a legal loophole. What's the legal loophole? All clothing, all items that I carry past the tax collector was taxable. But clothing that I wear is not taxable. So, and that's okay. And the government knows that, the tax collector knows that. That's fine, that's perfectly legal, perfectly acceptable. Comes to Mishnah Kilayim and raises the following question. Am I permitted to put on extra clothes to avoid paying the taxes legally? I'm going to put on one jacket and another jacket and another jacket. Put on six hats, six pairs of socks, five undershirts, a couple of pairs of tits. I'm going to put on extra clothing. Am I allowed to do that? Well, if the clothing is not shatnez, that's fine. But what if some of the clothing is shatnez? So I don't want to pay taxes on the shatnez. It's my business wares. I'm going to sell it to the goyim, and I want to put on that shatnez in order to avoid paying taxes. Am I permitted to do that or not? So comes the Mishnah and says, no, it's aser lavriach hasameches. It's aser to wear shatnez in order to avoid paying taxes. So here we have l'chora, an outright contradiction. The person who's wearing the clothing to avoid paying taxes is also not really interested in wearing the clothing. He's interested in avoiding paying the taxes. Why don't we invoke the principle of davar she'eino miskaven? I'm not intending to wear the clothes. I'm intending not to pay taxes. That should be called davar she'eino miskaven. This is not my question. This is the Rosh's question. The Rosh in Hilchos Kilayim says, how could these two Mishnayos live hand in hand? On the one hand, the Mishnah says that mochrik sus mochrin kedarka. You're allowed to carry your clothing, carry the shatnez, and wear it as long as you're not intending to wear it for the purposes of wearing. Yet, the same Mishnah, two Mishnahs later, says that lavriach hasameches, to avoid paying taxes, would be a problem. How do you resolve these two Mishnahs? Comes the Rosh himself and says, it is impossible to resolve these two Mishnayos. There is no way, don't waste your time, don't try to resolve these Mishnayos, says the Rosh. They argue with one another, they contradict one another. How can it be, says the Rosh? It's a machlaikis. It's the first machlaikis in the world. We never had a machlaikis. We've been learning in Shiva Kota for 1 year, 2 years, you know some machlaikis. It's a machlaikis at Tanoim. Rabbi Shimon holds Dovashim Miskavin is mutter. Rabbi Yehuda holds Dovashim Miskavin is aser. One Don, one Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda. One Mishnah is following Rabbi Shimon. We pass the both mutter. So if the Rosh was writing his Shulchan Aruch, if the Rosh would tell you what the halacha is, they're both mutter, finish, end of discussion. Comes the Rambam and clearly doesn't accept this. You know, I know the Rambam doesn't accept this because the Rambam paskins like both Mishnayos. In the Rambam, you can't say, well, one line the Rambam was following Rabbi Yehuda, one line was following Rabbi Shimon. That's ridiculous. The Rambam's writing a Sefer Halacha. The Rambam's telling you, how do you paskin Lemaisa? The Rambam says that one case is mutter and one case is aser. L'chora, it's inconsistent. It's impossible. How can one be also one be? What's the same question? They're both examples of davar she'eino miskaven. How do you make any sense of the Shittas of Rambam? Comes the Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, and gives the following suggestion of Bedas Rambam, which is going to become really the source for our whole discussion today. Comes the Beis Yosef and says, if you look really carefully at the Mishnayos and really carefully at the Rambam, you'll figure out the answer. The answer is based on two psukim in Chumash. Very rarely do we quote a pasuk in Chumash to give a shtickle Torah in the Rambam. But if you look carefully, it all comes back to the Torah Shemassah, comes back to the Torah Kedoshah. There are two psukim in Chumash that speak about wearing kilayim. One pasuk says, you're not allowed to be lovesh kilayim. You're not allowed to wear kilayim. You're not allowed to wear shatnez. Another pasuk says, ubeget kilayim shatnez lo ya'ale alecha. You're not allowed to have kilayim on top of you. On you. What's the difference between being lovesh kilayim and ma'ale kilayim? So says the Beis Yosef, the answer is obvious. Lovesh means I'm wearing this jacket. I put the jacket, my hands through the sleeves, it's on me, it's a garment, I'm closing up the buttons. That's called lovesh. Ma'ale kilayim means I'm laying in bed, I have a blanket of shatnez. The blanket is over me, I'm not wearing the blanket. The blanket is on me. Lo ya'ale alecha. They're both aser. It's also to be lovesh kilayim. It's also to be ma'alekilayim. Says the Beis Yosef, when a person is being lovesh kilayim, when a person is wearing, physically wearing kilayim, you have shatnez on you, you have your head through the hole, you got the arms through the sleeves, you're wearing a garment of kilayim, it doesn't matter why you're wearing it, it's irrelevant what your kavanah is. Levishas kilayim is awesome. That's what the Torah says. Losubash kilayim. You're going to give your shtikl Torah. I'm not really wearing it. I'm wearing it for this reason, for that reason, for yenim reason, shmem reason. Irrelevant. You're wearing kilayim, it's over, done. You're in violation of the Yisra. When it comes to ha'alas kilayim, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk in the Yidim HaSechus Yevamos. Those who are coming to YU next year, hopefully learning Yevamos, maybe we'll talk about the sugya, see a little bit of coming attractions. Comes the Gemara and says, ha'alas, why is ha'alas, sir? I'm throwing a sheet on top of me, he's throwing a blanket on top of me. Why is that also? What's wrong with it? It's only also if it's halal sheyesh b'hanah. If I'm enjoying it, if it's a geshmak, if it's keeping me warm, it's freezing in my room, and I put the blanket, the nice warm kilayim, woolen linen blanket, that's called halal kilayim. If I have kilayim on me and I'm not enjoying it, that's not considered to be halal kilayim. Says the Beis Yosef, that's the answer to the dilemma of the Rambam. When the Mishnah says that the person who's selling their kilayim is permitted to schlep the rest of the kilayim along, you're permitted to carry it with you, the Mishnah doesn't say you're going to wear it. The Mishnah says, what are you going to do with it? You're going to be ola, you're going to throw it over your shoulder, you're going to throw it over your arm, you're going to be transporting it. It's on you, it's aliyah's kilayim, but it's not levishas kilayim. And therefore, if it's not derech hana'ah, it's mutar. But the Mishnah that says you're not allowed to wear kilayim to pass the tax collector, the Mishnah is talking about wearing kilayim. To be lavish kilayim, it's out of the question. You're not allowed to wear kilayim under any circumstances, no matter what your purpose is for. So Rabbi Yisai, we have now a machlekes Rishonim that's just developed in front of our very eyes. Machlekes the Rambam and the Rosh about the Isra of kilayim. According to the Rosh, I'm allowed to wear shatnez. I'm allowed to wear kilayim. As long as I'm not having in mind to wear it, as long as it's not keeping me comfortable, I'm not wearing it to keep me warm, I'm not wearing it to keep me dry, as long as my kavana is for something else, I want to avoid the taxes. I want to transport my wares from town to town. I have any other agenda, any other reason whatsoever, any other rationale why I'm wearing the shatnez, it's mutter to wear shatnez. Don't quote me on that out of context. According to the Rosh, it's mutter to wear shatnez. It's mutter to put on a garment of shatnez. It's mutter lechatchila, provided that your intention is not for the purpose of wearing it. You're putting it on for some other reason. According to the Rambam, there is no such halacha. According to the Rambam, if you're not wearing it, if you just merely have it over you, then we can negotiate. But to put shatnez on, to put your arms through those sleeves, to button up that jacket, to put it over your head, to wear it as a garment, forget it, says the Rambam. That would be an issur d'orayis of levisha shatnez. Machlokes the Gedolei Harishonim, the Rambam, the Rosh. How do we paskin in Hilchos Kilayim? Well, if you opened up a Shulchan Aruch, what do you think it's going to say? Very simple. The Shulchan Aruch is going to quote the Rambam, and the Ramah is going to quote the Rosh. That's pretty much what happens in Halacha 99% of the time. So the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Kilayim in Yerdei Chelek Gimel says, it is asur lilbash kilayim for any reason whatsoever. And says the Ramah, Yesh Omrim, that it's mutna lilbash kilayim, as long as you're wearing it for some ulterior purpose, some ulterior motive, it's not for the purposes of actually wearing, etc. Comes the Ramah and gives an example. Gives an example of Maisa. Comes the Ramah and says, what would the din be if a person goes into a store and they want to try on a suit? They want to see, am I 42? Am I 40? How much weight did I lose in Eretz Yisrael this year? What's the story? Do I fit into my suit? Want to try on a suit? I pick a suit off, go to Sims Bash, pick a suit off the. I always say the Sims Bash was made for frum people. You ever be there? Who lives in Bergen County? Yeah, a couple of guys, Motzei Shabbos at a Sims Bash, you can have a lot of Malka there. No shalom about it. So comes, the guy comes to Sims, he's about to try on a suit, see what he's a 40 or 42, takes the suit down off the hook, and it says in big bold letters, 90% wool, 10% linen. That's okay, I don't want to wear the suit, I'm not going to buy the suit, I want to try on the suit. Is it mutter to try on a suit of shatnez or not? Says the Shulchan Aruch, do it at your own risk. You have malchus, according to Shulchan Aruch. If you do it, it's an issur d'oraisa. The Rabbah says it's mutl chetchila, according to the Rosh. Totally mutter. I'm not wearing it for any. I'm not wearing it to keep me warm. I'm not wearing it to keep me comfortable. I'm not wearing it to keep me dry. I'm wearing it because I want to see whether I fit into the suit. Says the Rabbah, that's not called levisha shatnez. That would be totally mutter. Machlekes the Rambam and the Rosh. With this background, now we can begin to understand the Ramban Hilchos Purim. Comes Ramban Hilchos Purim and raises the question, what's the din? Am I allowed to wear a costume that a shatan is in? The guy's dressing up as a costume. The guy's dressing up as a, I don't know, what's he getting dressed up as? I don't know, he's getting dressed up as Harry Potter or something. He's getting dressed up as Achashver. I don't know what he's getting dressed up as, the Bob the Builder. I don't know what his kids get dressed up. I was trying to think what my kids' costumes have been over the last couple of years. kids getting dressed up in some ridiculous costume, and the costume happens to have shatnas in it. Is it mutter or not? He's not wearing this Bob the Builder costume to keep him warm. He's wearing the costume because it's Purim, because he wants to have fun. So come, some poskim and say, it's mutter. It's called the Dover Shen Miskav. My kavan is not to wear the costume but Torah's clothing. I'm wearing the costume to dress up as. And Derech Agav, Dover Shen Miskav, and I'm wearing the costume. That should be mutter. But according to the Beis Yosef, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that would be out of the question. According to the Shulchan Aruch, that would be totally also be an Issa D'Araisa. So the Ramah in Uchas Purim walks a very, very fine line. Comes the Ramah in Uchas Purim and says, if it's shatnez derabanan, without getting all the details of what shatnez derabanan, sometimes if the wool and linen aren't connected in a certain manner, it's only shatnez derabanan. Says Ramah, well, if it's on the shatnez derabanan, yesh mekilim, there are some who are mekil. The truth is, off the record, if it would be shatnez derais, it would also be yesh mekilim. Ramah himself in Ruchos Shatnez. So the Ramah in Tuchos Purim doesn't want to be too mekil. So he says that yesh mekilim, there are some who permit wearing shatnez derabanan on Purim, but the Ramah says, it's pastish. Think of some other costume to wear for him. Mikra din, it's probably mutter. And I'll tell you, Mikra din is probably mutter even if Shatnez Diraisa. That's if you follow this view of the Ramah. Could we possibly bring a raya? Could we bring a raya for the Shulchan Aruch for the Ramah? Could we bring an off the beaten path raya? I want you to bring me a raya to someone who's wearing clothing, not for the purposes of wearing, and it's called a violation of Shatnez. Anyone's got a raya?
Is there anything else?
What?
Is there anything else? Just keep doing it.
No, I want a case. I want a situation, a specific case where the halacha says to wear the following clothing. I am not wearing it to keep me warm. That's not my kavanah. I'm wearing it for a totally different reason. And it's a violation or not violation of shatnez. I'll give you a hint. It's not far from here. Big dekuna. Big dekuna. Who said it? Kippa? Who said it? Said Yamaga? Okay, not bad. I'll tell you a trick question, by the way. Don't do it. Anything. It has to do with this topic a little bit. My son asked me, my 12-year-old son asked me the following riddle. See if anyone can get this answer. If you do, then you could also win brownie points in my kid's school or something. What is the only case where you chayav misa b'day shemayim for wearing a yarmulke? You heard that one? You chayav misa b'day shemayim for wearing a yarmulke. The coin went? A coin went and... Well, not that. Shas Avoda. When a Kohen does the Avoda, he's only allowed to wear the big tikkunah. If you do the Avoda as a karbanos and more than the four big tikkunah, Yechai Misa B'dei Shemayim. So if the Kohen wears a yarmulke, B'shas Avoda, he wears that hat, whatever the hat is, Mikbas, Mitznef, whatever the hat is, but to wear a yarmulke, that would be Aser Min HaTorah, and you'll be Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. That was a trick question for the 12-year-old. So, Baruch Hashem, I got it right. And he passed. Okay, anyway, get back to the story. So bring me a raya from Big Dekuna. Comes the Torah and says, the Kohen Gadol for sure, and even the Kohen Hedger possibly, wear shatnez. And the Gemara says that that's an absolute violation of shatnez that the Torah says he's allowed to do. It's not pshat that's not called shatnez. It is called shatnez, but the Torah says you're allowed to wear shatnez under these circumstances, but it's called a violation of shatnez. According to the Ramah, according to the Rosh, why is it a violation of shatnez? It's not a violation of shatnez. The Kohen's not wearing it to keep him warm. The Kohen's wearing it because the Torah says to wear it. So I have an ulterior motive. I'm wearing it for a different reason. So comes the Halacha and says, that's still called wearing shatnez. Says the Beis Halevi, the Chari of a raya from Big Dikuna, raya for the Rambam. All right, that's bad for us for the costumes. That's bad for us for the guys in Sims. A raya for the Rambam, that even wearing something which not really for the purpose of wearing, if you're doing a Maisa Levisha, that's called Levisha's shatnez. That would be a problem. So, interesting raya. One could be Dechle raya. Come to Mashiach, we'll talk about the Sugya Ophi and Koshor in a couple of weeks. So, I want to check it up online in about a month from now. Maybe we'll try to be Dechle raya. So, Rabbi say, let's backtrack for a second. So, we have a fundamental machlekes, Ram and the Rosh, about the Loch of shatnez, and a chapsa nafkamin ladina, nuchas purim, nafkamin ladina, whether I'm permitted to wear a costume which has shatnez in it or not. Rabbi, so let's take it one step further, the halacha. And now we're going to go about as off the beaten path as you can get without falling off. Rabbi, say, we're going to learn a sugya now. It's a sugya of Tchias HaMeisim. Okay? Lamaisa. Anyone interested? Okay. Comes the Gemara in Maseches Nida and raises the following question. When you bury a person in Tachrichim, are those Tachrichim allowed to be shot in Zonah? What's the halacha? Halacha Lamaisa, Chevra Kedisha comes to one, no, they ran out of Tachrichim, they want to bury a guy in Tachrichim, they're shot in this. You're allowed to do that or not? So comes the Gemara and says, depends. It depends whether mitzvahs are going to apply Le'achat Chias HaMesim or not. If you hold that mitzvahs are going to apply after Tchias HaMesim, so it's not right to the guy. You're going to bury him with Tachrichim. So when he's dead, he's part of the mitzvahs. He's going to come up, Mehera, Yabana, Mikdash. He's going to jump out of the cavern. The first thing he's going to do is going to get undressed. First thing he's going to have to do is go check the Shadness, take his Tachrichim off. It's lo yafeh. So therefore, you shouldn't bury the person in Shadness. Comes the other day, the Gemara says, no, it's okay. It's no problem. You can bury the person in Shadness because the mitzvahs aren't going to apply Le'achat Tchias HaMesim. There's a machlekes every shot, and what that means is Tchias HaMesim this world, next world, the other world, esoteric, maybe for a late night, super duper late night chabura. One time in shul, I gave this shiur about the halachic issues of Tchias HaMesim. It was on Shavuos night at 2 in the morning. Those are the kind of shiurim you give at 2 in the morning to keep people awake. So maybe another time, another place. You can also check www.tchiasamesim.com. You'll figure out something exciting to say about it. Rabbi say, bottom line, we pass the halachic mutter to bury a person in Shadness. Comes the Gemara Maseches Menachos and says that if you bury a person in a four-cornered garment, you have to make sure the tzitzit are kosher. Because if you don't make sure the tzitzit are kosher, that's making fun of the mace. It's not nice. It's what's called loig larosh. You're making fun. Ah, you mace, you dead person, you can't keep mitzvahs anymore. That's not appropriate. It's not a covenant mace, and therefore you must bury a person in tzitzit. There must be kosher tzitzit. Now some of you may know that we don't follow this Gemara. We have a practice in Ashkenazi communities, we bury a person in a talis, and what do? We dafka do what? In Chutz La'aretz, and Eretz Yisrael is different. In Chutz La'aretz, what's the minhag? We disqualify one of the tzitzis. We passel the tzitzis. Why do we do that? The Gemara says the favorish that you're not allowed to do that. So there's a long tosis that shows you why there's a machlekes, and we passel it the other day. And a whole story, a whole shtickle Torah explains why we don't passel like this Gemara. So in fact, our minhag is like the Ramah that we in fact do passel the tzitzis. There's a famous story about the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon didn't like this minhag. He thought the halacha should be like it says in the Gemara. He should bury the person in the kosher tzitzis. Therefore, the Vilna Gaon gave instructions to one of his tamidim that when he passes away, they should make sure to, get past the Chavah Kaddish and make sure that his talus is kosher. So what happened, unfortunately, for the Gro is the Gro passed away in Cholamoy Tzukis, and that Talmud had gone home for Ben Azmanim. So by the time, in those days, he couldn't get back to Vilna so fast. By the time he got back for the Levaya was over, and the Gro was buried like everybody else, in regular Pasul Tzitzis. So even the Gro couldn't pull off that Psach. There's another famous story about the Gro. He thought that you should duchen every day, like in Eretz Yisrael. So in Vilna, he wanted to reinstitute the practice of duchening every day. So he announced one night in Shul, tomorrow morning in Shul in Vilna, we're going to duchen. So that night, the Shul burnt down. So the Gro stopped that plan. So they asked him, he said, after all, Lobo Shemaibi, you're not supposed to pass in Shalas based on these kinds of things. So the Gro said, no, I'm not passing in Shalas based on that. I know that I'm right. I know we should duchen, but I have Rachmanis on the other Shuls in Vilna. I don't want the whole town to burn down. So the Gro was a different. He was in his own world. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to bury a person in Pasul Tzitzis, but you are allowed to bury a person in Shatnez. The question is, what's the difference? Why don't we say that when you bury the person in Shatnez, you're making fun of the person? He's not able to do mitzvahs. So, Tosfos quotes Maseches Nida in the name of the Rashbam that there's a difference between Tzitzis and Shatnez. What's the difference? Says the Rashbam that a mace, when he's wearing tachrichim, is not violating Shatnez. Why? Because he's not nene from the beggar anyway. He's not enjoying the beggar anyway. It's like mochik ksus. It's like the guy was carrying the shatnez. It's like the guy was dressing, wearing the costume. The mace and the tachrichim was like the guy in Purim, dressed up in Achashverosh, shatnez costume. He's not enjoying the costume. It's not keeping him warm. He's dead. He's not enjoying the beggar. So says the Rashbam, that would be okay. That's not considered to be an Aveira, so to speak. But when it comes to tzitzis, if the mace is not wearing kosher tzitzis, you're making fun of him that he's not doing mitzvahs. Comes Rabbeinu Tam, who was the Rashbam's younger brother. Rabbeinu Tam asks the Rashbam, wait a second. The same way that if you're not enjoying the beged, you're not nene from the beged, it's not called shatnez. If you're not enjoying the beged, then it's not called what? Not called tzitzis either, and you shouldn't be chayv in tzitzis. So there's a machlekes opposed to an ugly machlekes. I have a baguette that I'm wearing for some other reason, not to keep me warm. Is it chayv in tzitzis or not? According to the Rashbam, it's chayv in tzitzis. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's potter min tzitzis. Who wants to ask me the bomb kasha? An unbelievable kasha. If you hold like these rishonim that any time you wear a baguette and you're not planning on wearing it to keep you warm, it's not called tzitzis. What's the problem? Atzitzis. We don't wear pagodim to keep us warm. In the olden days, so it was normal to wear a four-cornered baguette. It kept you warm. That was a baguette. We wearing tzitzis for one reason. Why is that? We're wearing tzitzis to wear tzitzis, to be yotzei mitzvah. So you can spend your whole life trying to solve this cat that's walking around in circles. I'm trying to be yotzei mitzvah tzitzis, but I can't be yotzei mitzvah tzitzis unless it's a baguette. It's not called a baguette unless it's keeping me warm. But I'm not wearing it to keep warm. I'm wearing it to be yotzei mitzvah tzitzis. But you can't be yotzei mitzvah tzitzis because they're not keeping you warm. So it's like Laurel and Hardy, you know, who's on first, second, etc. So you'll never solve that problem. So we assume halacha, that's not a problem. We assume, Baruch Hashem, that you chayiv in tzitzis even if it's not keeping you warm. Shatnez is one area of halacha. Tzitzis is a different area of halacha. They're different. They work with different guidelines. So, by that, let's chazer for a moment. What do we have? So, we started out the sugya with something that we thought had nothing to do with Purim. We're talking about a shatnez sugya. In order to be over shatnez, you have to wear the beged to enjoy the beged, but just the fact that it's on you is also considered to be a violation of shatnez. So, we had a machlokes, the Rambam, and the Rosh, Mishnayos, and Kelayim, how to resolve it. Raya's from Bikti Kahuna, back and forth, Ramaz, thrown around Achos Purim, and Achos Kelayim, back and forth. Then we had spilling over into tzitzis, Yechayv, and tzitzis, Potter tzitzis, the Mesa, man. We touched on 500 different sugyas. Bottom line, back to Achos Purim, what's the din? So there are more rites that there are some who used to wear shatnez derabanan, and not such a great idea. But we said in reality that we can make a case to be mati v'shatnez deraisa. According to the Ikra Din, according to the Ramon Rosh, it should really be mutter to wear even shatnez deraisa. Achol panim. Most people don't wear shatnez deraisa. Most people don't wear shatnez derabanan. Most people just get dressed up with some simple, you know, bodybuilders and whatever one wears is good enough. A kol panim, it's interesting, it's really a whole halachic literature about dressing up on Purim. This is not the only shayla that comes up in the Ramah about dressing up on Purim. The Ramah talks about another shayla about men getting dressed up as women, women getting dressed up as men. A whole shayla, is that called derech toev, but not called derech toev? Is it a good idea, a bad idea? It's a lumdus about dressing up, a strange thing, a modern thing. Where did this Minig Yisrael come from? What a bizarre Minig Yisrael that people are wearing shatnez derabanan on Purim. They're wearing shatnez deraisa. They're getting dressed up as men are getting dressed up as Esther Malkov. So I'm sure that they're minhagim, people are getting dressed up as other people. What's it all about? So without getting too far afield, but I know Dobi said they're learning a little bit about this sugya, about the dressing up. Just bekitz and nimrutz. Clearly, this is a throwback to the notion of Hester Panim, that Purim, this period of time, we celebrate the fact that things are not always the way they appear. It means, you know, Kodesh Baruch was master as Panim also. Kodesh Baruch Kaviyach was also wearing a mask. Part of the Zeichel Neis, part of the celebration, is also celebrating the fact that sometimes things are hidden, sometimes things are not so partial. You look at a guy, he looks like he's you know, Elmo or something. It looks like he's a clown or something. He's a really reshiva behind that. You know, Anochi Aster Aster Panei Kadosh Baruch Hu also sometimes acts in a hidden way. There is one last nekuda that I think it's important to walk away with, this notion of hidden and masks and costumes and masquerades. And it's important not only in terms of the Chodesh Adar, in terms of Purim, I think it's an important message really about Jewish history. I think it's very especially apropos to Bachman learning in this yeshiva, which is Nikla Hashem the Kosel, and in the proximity of the Kosel, there's a Poskin Shir Shirim that describes the Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence of Klal Yisrael. Hinezel Medachai Kosleinu, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is behind the Kosel. So the Medrash says in that Pasuk, Mikan that the Kodesh Baruch Hu promised us that even if the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, the Kosel Maravi will never be destroyed. So Avtocha from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So anyone who doubts the Ruach HaKodesh of Chazal, that Medrash was said 1500 years ago, the Kosel is still here. If you didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, it would be hard to make such a prediction. So Hinezel Medachai Kosleinu, the Pasuk says, Mashkiach Menachalanos Metzitz Menacharakim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach through the windows, and it's Metzitz Menacharakim. He peeks through the cracks. What is the difference between these two imageries of Mashkiach ben Achalanos, Metzitz ben Acharakim? Mashkiach ben Achalanos, Lashkiach HaHashkocha. So Mashkiach, a good Mashkiach in a yeshiva, is someone who's on top of you. It means he's looking at you, clear as day. He knows exactly every bachur, everything about the body. He knows everything. A good Mashkiach in a kitchen, he knows where every pot is, and he knows every spoon is, knows where every shipment of meat's coming, he knows when every fire is being. That's a Mashkiach. That's the kind of Mashkiach that you want. Then a chalon is open, a chalon is glass, a see-through. He sees everything. The Mashkiach sees you, and you see the Mashkiach. Part of a Hashkocha, a good good Ashkacha team in a restaurant, in a hotel, is that the workers are afraid of the Mashkiach. They should be. If they don't think the Mashkiach is watching them, then it's Ois Ashkacha. So Mashkiach is a two-way, it's two ways. I'm watching them and they see me. That's what it means, Lashkiach. Menachal knows. Everything is clear, it's open, there's no shy, there's no sveikas. Everyone knows what's on the table. Meitzitz Menacharakim is very, very different. Latzitz, like tzitzis, we spoke about. Latzitz means like the peak, like the tzitz. Means to look through a little bit. Charakim means the cracks, through the crevices, through the lattice work. You know, it's basically closed, like a little, you look through the hole in the door. I'm looking through, I can barely see, I'm squinting through. I'm seeing you, you can't even see me. You know, when I look through the hole in the top of the door, I see who's on the other side. The person can't see me. I'm looking through the crack. I'm aiming at him. He can't see me. That's what it means to be made tzitz benacharakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in Shir HaShirim that he appears to Klal Yisrael through history in two different ways. Sometimes he's Mashkiach Melacholonos, sometimes he's Mektitz Melacharekin. The Kosel is the symbol of those two Hashkachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkach is clear as day. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see, he's smiling through the window, it's wide open, Zman Shebeis HaMikdash HaKayim, we see the Nisim and he's looking down at us, and we come to the Beis HaMikdash, everything's gewaldic, wonderful. And very often, the Kosel has been associated for 2,000 years with Tsar, with Avelos, with Churban, with crying. Meitzitz Menacharakim. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. We know he's looking. We can't see him. He's looking at us. We know he's peeking through the hole, but the hole is so small. The wall is so thick. It's a little crack of Ashu. That's Meitzitz Menacharakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the vehicle of the Kosel, the vehicle of the Mokum HaShechina, to appear to Klai Yisrael in different ways. This is true not only for Klal Yisrael's whole, it's true for each Yochid, the Yochid. It's true for each individual. There are times in one's life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is felt, where it's so obvious. Baruch Hashem, I met a lot of wonderful Bachurim today. We had a chance to talk some one-on-one in groups, and I got a chance to speak to many of you. Baruch Hashem, I think most Bachurim at this stage in their life are on the stage of Mashkiach Melacholonos. It means you could feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. You're sitting in the Beis Medrash, Baruch Hashem, wonderful Rebbeim, and the people who are helping you out and learning, and you're getting to see davening and learning and Kedusha, V'taranish, and Shabbos. I had this chus of spending two Shabbos in the last 2 years in Shiva Kotel. It's such a chus, it's mamash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, it's shiny. You have to literally be blind, you have to mamash close your eyes to miss it. It's Mashkiach Melacholonos. But I'll tell you something, it's not always like that in life. There are times, you know, with Hashem, many of you are going to go back to different places and you're going to have different challenges as life goes on. You're going to be out in the work field and many, you know, with Hashem, you know, other challenges in the course of your life. And there are going to be times when you're not going to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu so clear as day. There are going to be times when the learning is going to come much harder. There are going to be times it's going to be harder to daven. There are going to come times when there are going to be some real nisyonah, some real challenges that may shake you to the core. In terms of Shmiras HaTorah and Mitzvahs, there's a reality out there. There's a world out there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always watching. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. He's Meitzitz Menacharakim. He's looking at you. He's watching. He's peeking over you to make sure you make the right decisions. You may not even see him. You may not even sense him because you may be so distant and far and so many other things that are taking over your life. But don't forget the words I told you. He's Meitzitz Menacharakim. He's watching over you. So Purim is a time when we celebrate that even though behind all the masquerades and the person's dressed in the most ridiculous looking costumes, but we know we can look through the eyes of the costume. We see behind that big Mickey Mouse costume, we see what that is. That's Mechavrusa. I see behind the guy who's dressed up like a clown, that's my Rebbe. That's Meitzitz Menacharakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always looking. Even if it looks like there's a masquerade, and it looks like there are so many layers and layers of costume and cover-up, and I can't get to the truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may not be Mashkiach Melacholonos, but he's always made this Melacharat. We hope and pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should shower his Shechina upon us, that the Meitzitz Melacharakim for us as individuals, for us in Klal Yisrael, should once again be transformed to become Mashkiach Melacholonos.